Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Each episode, we invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
How are you, darling?
Oh, lover, I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Nice.
I had a beer, so I feel
great.
You had one beer,
and you're feeling
good. I'm on a detox, so that feels like 10 beers.
Yeah, one equals 10 in this detox.
You know what I'm really excited about, though?
Oh, I know. You're excited about this gentleman sitting across from us.
This gent, he's a TV critic at the AV Club.
He also has a podcast, and it's about television shows, of course. Two Broke Girls and a Jew. Welcome, Mr. David Sims.
David.
Hello, guys.
Yeah.
Hi,
thanks for having me.
Dude, we're excited to have you here.
Oh, it's really nice. I'm really, really excited to be here.
So are you like obsessed with TV?
I guess so. I've been watching TV since I was a little kid. I mean, people sometimes ask me like, how do you like get a job doing what you do? And I'm like, have you watched TV since you were four and like written about it since you were 12? Like that's what I did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you did something right.
Yeah, I guess
what
so.
Were some of your early favorite TV reviews? What did you like when you were...
Oh, this is going to get embarrassing.
Let's dig into the archives.
Alan McBeal. That was huge for me. Yeah, huge for like 11-year-old David.
Alan can you McBeal. Think of any things that you said? Like any insights you had about that show?
Oh, my God. I probably can. I remember... that when Anne Heche had a guest arc, I was like, it was some awful thing. She played someone with like Tourette's syndrome or something. It was terrible. And I was like, she's brilliant. This is such a funny, and now just thinking about it, I blush. ER was the other one for me too. That was like the first grown-up show that I ever watched.
Oh, ER. Those are actually pretty impressive.
But Ally McBeal was the first show about sex that I, like, you know, ER, I guess they're having sex, but they don't.
Right.
It's not a big, but Adam Peel was all just about her sex life.
Sexually and charged.
That was the first show I watched that was about, you know, people doing it.
Yeah, they, Eric LaSalle, for some reason to me, was so handsome and smooth.
Very handsome man.
Yeah, I think it was a Coming to America was a part of my love of Eric LaSalle. Mm. That's where it began anyway.
Hot young buck.
He had those dynamic Jerry curls in Coming to America. He lost them for ER, unfortunately. I wish he had those in the operating room. but yeah, no, he was great.
Did you write about him? How sexy he was? If you didn't.
I was too young to be writing about Eric LaSalle, but Benton is my favorite ER character. You have hit on my favorite ER character. Yeah,
you Dr. guys have a lot in common.
It's a complex character.
Very complex.
So we like to wine and dine our guests here at Ménage à Trois. We're pretty classy, right?
Yeah, we try to be as classy as possible for two perverts.
So as classy as two perverts can be. So David Sims wanted some bourbon.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Which we're going to give him what he wants.
Yeah, well, that gets us excited. Granted, we are on the detox, but we're going to...
Today...
We're not going to let our guests down.
Hell no.
Our guests, the listeners.
What is this?
This is a Woodford Reserve.
Oh, very nice.
Delicious.
Thanks, guys.
Still going off the huge bottle that Matt...
Matt Kleinman, a handsome pour.
Matt Kleinman gave us a huge bottle of Woodruff Reserve for our engagement, and we've been like sipping off it for a couple
months.
We've been
slowly feeding into our guests for about a year. I don't know if you want any soda water to top that off.
No, I'm okay.
There
just
we
like
go.
This.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Oh, that's excellent.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you chug that so we can ask you some dirty questions. Just kidding. You don't have to chug it.
I'm not going to chug it. It's just so good.
Yeah, this is a sipping bourbon.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Do you get laid a lot for being a critic?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yes, what kind of pussy are you drowning
in? TV critic pussy. Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah, I used to have it on my OkCupid profile.
Yeah.
I used to say, I write for the AV Club because... but then I had to take that off.
Yeah,
it was bad.
What? Why were you?
Well,
like,
there
attracting...
were two reasons. Yeah, I was attracting some weird attention, and then also, or I was just attracting messages of people saying like, "What TV show do you like to watch?" And I was like, "This isn't going to go anywhere."
You're like, "You're using me for my TV."
Not even that. It's just this. This is not. It's just not going to lead to romantic. Where I'm like, "Oh well, you know."
Ally McBeal.
Here's the thing about Eric LaSalle. Yeah, no, I think, but knowledge is sexy. I mean, you know, there's something about someone who has an expertise in a field that sure. that arouses me anyway.
I always wonder, though, with writers, because if I, like, say I went on a date with you, I would think that was very impressive and cool, an awesome line of work. But it's the kind of thing where what you look like isn't associated, you know, like as you are with, like, an actor, performer, rock right. star. So, like, if somebody saw you on the street, they maybe wouldn't know that you had this awesome no. job.
They fell in love with your words. Yes. And yeah. then they saw you second.
And then they fell in love with your face.
That's what I'd prefer. I have been approached in a bar and asked if I am David Simms.
Oh, wow.
At the AV Club,
yes.
Which blew my mind.
Yes.
Because I used to write Gilmore Girls reviews. Classic. We do classic
that's
reviews.
When you get the punani.
Gilmore Seriously. Girls is classic now.
Yeah, it's
We're getting
classic.
Up there in age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes me feel 100.
Yeah. So someone
I guess, had followed me on Twitter or something and saw my picture, and she came up to me and said, "Are you David Simms?"
She whispered like, in your
yes,
ear.
She did.
David Simms.
And she said, you're Gilmore Girls reviews. Very important to me.
Meet
that
me
was
awesome.
A weird
Meet
moment.
Me in the ladies'
yeah.
room.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Yeah, and I feel like there's a certain level of relatability because everyone has their favorite show,
sure.
unless you're not
sure.
an American. But, you know, everyone has a show that they're like, I love this. So if you wrote about, if there's a connection there, they go, you know, you get it.
That's the
you
thing.
Get it.
That's the thing. And I think there are some certain shows, like Gilmore Girls, I think is one where the fans really feel mm-hmm. an intense bond.
Yep.
Yes. That's something you can't fake that.
No.
And I'm going to sound like a doof here because I don't watch Game of Thrones, but you do Game of Thrones
I do.
Reviews.
I do.
So that already puts you in this like sector of like diehard fans.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess so.
Yeah.
This is going to get nerdy real fast, but at the AV Club, we do two Game of Thrones reviews. We used to just do one,
mm-hmm.
but then there's this, the people who read the books and the people who haven't read the books, and those guys don't like each other because the people who read the books are
that
all.
That makes sense, actually.
And they're all like, yeah. You know, we'll wait for this, you know? Yeah. And so I do the newbie reviews. I do the reviews for really just the TV fans.
But you know what I will say about that? And I may have to catch some flack for saying
Ooh,
this,
uh-oh.
But the newbie,
Careful.
I have not read the books, and okay. I've only seen two, the first two episodes of the first season of Game of Thrones, and I liked it, but I didn't have HBO for a long time. Anyway, the idea of the newbie makes more sense to me because you can be more purist from the television standpoint.
Yeah.
If you're writing, because if you love the fucking books, write a book review. You're not, if you're writing a TV review, you're going to be tainted if you read the books because you're going to say, well,
you're never going to be satisfied.
No.
Right. But it's still interesting to see how something was interpreted and to see if you like it or it could be improved
yeah.
upon.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
for
that's
sure.
Like a
I just
totally,
mean if
I
you
get
want
why
a pure
there's
TV
two camps.
Review. Yeah. Yeah.
That,
yeah
you know,
yeah.
you're right. You can't do a pure TV review if you're like thinking about the literature.
No. The book lover reviews, it's all kinds of crap in there about like, oh, this is different. This is different. That's weird. What are they doing? You know,
yeah.
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 It's a lot of, yeah. Gets nerdy fast over at the AV
Game
Club.
A lot of nerdy crap.
Yeah. I love it.
A lot of paper clips flying over there. Well, you know, we love science. It's a thing that we love so much. And we love lust. So this little segment called Sexy Science. Combines our loves of everything.
That was a terrible segue.
That was one of my own. Back in the doghouse with the segues. I had such a great one earlier.
No, that was really good.
Yeah.
All right. So what we do is we take articles from the news that have to do with sex and hearts and parts, and mm-hmm. we try to figure out what's going on. Ripped from the headlines. This is called I'll Have What She's Thinking. It's brought to us by the New York Times.
Real cutesy. That's actually, that sounds like more of a New York Post title than a New York Times title, but go on.
They're getting cutesier.
Oh, mm-hmm. The Times is kind of...
Keeping up?
Yeah, they're trying to, yeah, you know,
trying to
keep
stay
up with
the
kids. Yeah.
Exactly. So the idea here is there's a lot of women that can actually just think themselves into orgasm. And this has always been a phenomenon that people have cited throughout history and like... all these kinds of things, but was thought to be kind of like myth-based.
Right,
but now they're doing a lot more studies where they like put women's head in equipment and like make them think about sexy things. No, and it is like a real phenomenon. It's just really interesting because it points to the fact that we know nothing really about our own physiology.
Right.
Because it isn't supported by
like
what we thought.
Right, how the nerves body work. Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Spontaneous orgasm, I think people did, as you were saying, people did know about it earlier, but... The idea then was the same way as it was with the female orgasm in general, just being considered female hysteria,
right.
You know, telling them that they shouldn't have orgasms. I think it's the same kind of thing where there's something in here that they called it, because now Rutgers University is doing this study now that...
they're doing the most intensive study of like studying people's brains and
yeah.
like looking at like the whatever happens when you look at someone's brain.
And science has come, thankfully, a long way into Rutgers. But in 1896, they called involuntary orgasms, they said, could lower a woman's vital energies and, quote, cause melancholia and mental weakness.
Well, and this is really
That's
funny.
That's nice.
As a cure, the doctor recommended hard mattresses and cold sponge baths.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea then was that there's firm,
good firm mattress. They'll
a lot
shut
of sleepies.
That down.
Take a sponge bath and knock it off.
Yeah.
Woman.
Like, turn off the hot water and sleep on this rock. No, but but the idea, like, originally was that this couldn't possibly exist because there's no evolutionary need for the female orgasm.
Right, right.
But now I think there is. I would argue that, like,
well,
someone
sure.
wanting to have sex, it makes them more likely to have sex.
That's true. I mean, but I think for a long time it was considered that, like, the vaginal and clitoral orgasms were different mm-hmm. things, right? Like, that if a woman's stimulating
G-spot
herself,
versus,
it's right. It's
yeah.
a less important or what they're, yeah. they're used to these. And then obviously it was really, no, it's all, they're all linked together. It's all. But
right.
Is there a build here, or do they just, you said spontaneous orgasm, and I imagine suddenly, you know, just like,
just out of nowhere. Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah.
Well, no, it's
that is a strange phrasing for that, because, yeah, we'd be just walking down the street, and all of a sudden, boom, orgasm.
Yeah. Well, it's not, yeah, I guess it's not totally spontaneous. It's just women that think erotic thoughts, and then it's called thinking off. And there's a lot
clever.
Of women.
It's clever.
Yeah, a lot of women do these, like, YouTube videos showing that they can do it, and people were, like, calling bullshit on them.
Right,
and
it's
now
hard
they're
to, right.
essentially studying their brains and saying, oh, that's true. What's interesting about this for me is I've never tried to think off and been successful, but I've had orgasms in my sleep. Hmm. And I've woken up having them and not no contact being made with my genitals.
Well,
what,
true. And men do it too, of
yes,
course.
Nocturnal emissions.
Yeah, you don't really think about it, but there's no real
exactly.
Stimulation. Yeah, no. There's no contact happening.
But it's
there.
Like these great intense orgasms. Yeah, and men obviously have them too. So without contact, people's brains are causing them to have an
they
orgasm.
They can get there, right?
So you could argue that's
you need
not
to
possible.
Tap
there's
into
no
that
evolutionary...
in the conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, not while you're just asleep. But there is, yeah, there has to be a reason for that. I think if your brain
well,
decides...
Well, with men, it's like buildup of semen.
Of fluid, yeah.
But with women,
and
it's
just
yeah. like
and just
awesome.
Teenage excitement. It's just building up.
Teenage dream. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the tantric side of this, too. Now, sure. there's also, you know, science has constantly been battling with the tantric arts. Arts, I don't know.
Arts? No, it's true. All the, like, Indian writings are
right.
about this.
Right, and people have been able to tap into... I think with men, it's more, you know, holding back the actual ejaculation
sure.
and having the orgasm, but with no ejaculation. And then for the ladies, it would be no contact, but being able to reach an orgasm. And I think like that,
awesome.
That tantric side, yeah, it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I think it just takes a lot of mental discipline. And I think that there is a gap in science when it comes to
the meditative power,
yeah, of sexuality. And
yeah, in every like sector of science, they're like, they just totally... eliminate like anything that could be like mental.
Well, I think
I
it's
feel
just
like they're like
it's
well,
hard
if we can't
quantify,
prove it.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing with stress affecting your body. It's tough to figure out exactly how that all fits
yeah.
together.
Even
yeah.
though stress is the number one killer.
It's the number one killer, guys.
Well, fortunately,
we're aware of that here at Menage a Trois.
That's why we just drink and talk about thinking off.
Right.
Well, fortunately, the ground zero for this research is New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Rutgers.
Yeah. Are they finding a ton
up...
of people in New Jersey? Is this
yeah,
they just sort of scooping and then just there's tons of people in New Jersey thinking off all over?
I mean,
people
there's just
a lot
thinking
of
people
the
there
streets.
Who are like, come in for $50 for a study, and they're like, all right.
Here's a question. Right. This yeah. is for all the lawyers out there.
Listen up, lawyers.
If you're thinking off in public, is this legal?
Is that
this
lewd?
Not legal? Is
right.
it lewd and
right.
lascivious behavior?
Right. I don't think so.
Interesting.
Because you're not exposing,
well,
you're not touching.
Well, that brings up this headline. I'll have what she's thinking, which is like from Harry, when Harry met Sally.
Right. Well, that's what I thought
her,
of. Yeah.
Reiner's
exactly.
mother.
Mm-hmm. But she was not arrested in that scene. So
well,
that
we know of.
She thought off. Yeah, we don't know if she was arrested. I don't know if the good people at Cats is delicatessen.
If rom-coms are a beacon of legal, you know, nature is an art. Society,
and they are
in
they
our
are.
Midst. Yeah, but I mean, no one was offended. They
no.
were just like, that sounds great. I'll have what she's thinking.
I mean, as much as that's a silly scene, like that's kind of a pivotal scene for a rom-com, right? Addressing the female orgasm. That,
yeah.
that hadn't been talked
great.
About much, right?
No.
I don't think about it, but now that I'm thinking about it.
It kind of, it was, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, no. When Harry Met Sally is like the ultimate rom-com.
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
rom-coms used to be awesome, and a lot of them
now they're
just,
a joke.
They are.
It used to just be. I mean, and then recently it's been like paint by number, which has given the rom-com a bad name. But yeah. I feel like I know you're a TV guy, but
no, I love movies.
I know you've
film.
Never seen a film.
I can't. I keep them just you know. I have to film a Chinese wall between me and the movies.
The film journey. No, but I definitely think that's sad because the rom-com has a lot of potential.
It really
at the
does.
End, everyone just wants to see a love story.
Oh, for sure, and when done well. I mean, but then again, a lot of buddy comedies are definitely in the rom-com considered genre. It's the same formula.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
It's the same kind of
Apatow
thing.
Apatow is sort of doing his doing the rom-com.
He's
right
doing
now.
His rom-coms.
I like Apatow's version of the rom-com.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we want to help people, don't we?
Yeah, we want to help them think off.
David Sims is going to help people think off. Listener love.
Listen, a mailbag.
Listen, I'm getting blunt and aggressive with my segues.
No.
You have
sorry.
Just abandoned the segue altogether.
Well, because I flubbed it, and now I'm self-conscious about my segues.
Oh, I'll do one next. Can I try the next
please,
one?
Please, please.
All right, this might be bad, guys. I've never done one. Ooh. All right, well, let's explain this guy.
Okay, well, people want help. You know, we don't have all the answers, but we might have two or three, and hopefully they match up with the questions we get. People email us, they tweet at us, they stop us in the street.
That actually happened.
Cool. Someone did flag us down and asked us a question. They didn't know we hosted a sex and relationship podcast, but
people just want advice on their hearts and parts.
You just looked qualified.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So this one, we're going to start this off with Shandy from Auckland, New Zealand.
Shandy. Mm.
New Zealand. This is an international email. This comes to us at our email address, which is menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. After we do it, my boyfriend cries and recites poetry to me. Not to be shallow, but I hate it. We'll have great sex, and then he ruins it with his sentimental crap. How do I make him stop?
Shandy,
this is an easy one. Yeah, this is communication is
right?
the foundation of any good sex life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can't...
I have some questions, though, about this poetry.
What would you
ask? Yeah, what? How? Is it erotic?
Well,
is
right.
It, yeah.
Is he thinking of it? Is he sort of slam freestyle poetry?
I hope so.
Wait, let's go around. Let's go around the circle and say one line of post-coital poetry. Okay, I'll start. Because no one jumped on that. That was like a sunset exploding.
Slipping inside, so wet, so moist.
The earth moved, but the bed stayed still. I don't
yes!
know.
Yes! That was amazing.
Sims, that one, round one goes to Sims.
No, that does
Shandy,
not go to Sims.
No, Shandy. She's not going to like that we just did that.
Well,
no.
Summer Shandy. Well, yeah, that's too
I was going to say, or is he memorizing... You know, written
Edgar Allan Poe,
and just sort of
Telltale
he's got
Heart.
It ready to go, and then when he's done, he's like, okay, tonight Yeats.
Yeah,
is that?
I don't
his
know why
son?
I went Poe. He's barely a poet.
No, he's
Poe's a poet.
He's got some poems.
How dare you?
All right, but yeah, he's yeah. Is he memorizing
well,
other
also,
people's work? Or
what I would find here is that he cries. So
yeah,
it's not
that's
even
true,
like
that's
if
true.
He was doing some funky beat stuff, you could be like, that's weird, but it could be funny or like
I guess so.
At least uplifting. But if he's like sobbing and reciting like. Rolling Stones lyrics or you know which are amazing but like trying
yeah,
to be like
there's a time and a place
yeah like if I think that the this sounds to me like it's overly sentimental
well also that
like,
it's compulsive if he keeps if he's doing it every time there's something deep,
something below
deep
there yeah.
Yeah
so try to tap into that Shandy
yeah, be sensitive
sure
you know
I think on the bright side the making love to you is such a wonderful experience that he wants to express it artistically.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a positive way to view it.
I agree. And also, listen, Shandy, it's hard to find great sex. So don't,
she
don't
said
take
it was great,
she
right?
said the sex is great. So don't take that for granted just because of a
That's
little
true.
Yeats or whatever's going on.
The work is worth doing.
Yes.
You know, if you want to address something, but you know.
Let's address it though, right?
Right. Yes.
Address.
Address. Oh. This is me.
Oh.
Hello. Our second listener love of the day comes to us via our email at menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. This is Craig from Walla Walla, Washington. Craig asks, I'm a straight man. I wear nice man suits all day. When I get home, I slip into a woman's nightgown and put on lipstick. Am I the only one?
First off, absolutely not.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there doing that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty popular.
It's becoming more and more just generally accepted,
yeah.
right?
That's, I think, that's, yeah,
know,
I think
not
as
even
the...
something to be quiet about.
No, actually, I think you can be very open about that these days.
No, and it's fine if you're not as well, but never feel like you're doing anything wrong.
He made it sound pretty nice.
He actually did. He painted quite the picture.
I like the sound. It was slip into a woman's nightgown.
Nice man suits and then nice slipping into it. Yeah.
And something about playing dress up, like, I mean, there's obviously a gender, not issue, but thing going on here, but like something about just like coming home and like playing dress up or like being someone else at home, yeah. I think is very attractive.
And
like shedding off the dirt of the day.
For sure. And I think, it was just Craig. I think Craig, if you find someone who is into that, that's going to make it all the more. Because if you just come home, you put on a nightgown and you sachet in front of your mirror for yourself,
sure.
That's fine. That's great. Do
whatever.
It.
God
love
bless.
It. But if you can find someone who's into that, that's going to make it all the more.
That could blow his mind.
Yeah. And there are people.
Yeah, for sure.
Love that kind of shit.
I mean, dude, get the internet. It will change everything. I mean, he emailed us, so.
Yeah, that's true.
He did. He might have been using a public computer.
He went to the library.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a man's and a woman's nightgown? Is there much difference?
Is there a men's nightgown?
There used to be. It's very old fashioned.
This sort of that you think of this sort of smoking jacket.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, like that,
there's that. That's
that,
true.
With
yeah.
The cap.
With the cap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, but I think a woman. I'm imagining like more of like a negligee, like
something very silky or
overtly sexy, but yeah, like a little camisole top and then long.
Yeah, right.
Well, you really imagined that, didn't you?
Well, I would think like a silk nightgown. Yeah.
You imagine that.
Right, the fuck out of it.
I was confusing a nightgown and a robe, I now realize.
Oh,
like, yeah, I was
yes.
thinking of a man's
robe.
Oh, yeah.
Don't try to de-sexify the
slip into
question.
A real sexy robe I stole from the Marriott.
A wool robe.
Real nice. Yeah, so Craig, just look, find somebody who's into it and or do it solo, but whatever it is, you gotta let loose from your man suits of the day.
Absolutely, Craig.
All right, this last one was tweeted at us. We've got a Twitter account, and it's at Menage Radio. Please follow us. We're trying to get followers. And
stop, pause the podcast, go follow us on
Twitter.
Go follow
us now, come back, restart. This DM, someone DM'd us, and they said, I want to lick feet and fuck feet. Is that so wrong? Again, no.
No.
As long as those feet are consenting.
Yes. As best they can.
Yes.
Foot fetish is pretty
again,
well
as
known.
Best
yeah,
they can
I guess.
Consent.
Right. I have a weird story about this, though.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay. I went to college in Boulder, Colorado.
Sure.
And I was walking one day, and there was someone kind of in my blind spot, and I finally kind of whipped around, and I was like, what the fuck? It was my senior year. And this guy, it was kind of like a well-known homeless man. There's a lot of them around there who everyone just kind of like,
celebrity homeless, yep.
Yeah, but you like know him, you see him all the time, like non-threatening at all. You know, and he was like staring at my feet. And I was like, what? And he said, little feet. Do they call you little feet?
What?
And I was like, no, and ran down the street. Okay, that wouldn't be that funny in itself. Who cares? I leave school because it was my senior year. I graduate, and my friend Brian McMorrow calls me like 6 months later, and is like, he's laughing to the point where he can't talk on the phone. And I'm like, what? I was living in Seattle at the time, and he's like, that you know that redhead guy? Because I told that story, we were like, that weird little feet guy. He had been arrested for breaking into a sorority, and a girl had woken up, and he was licking her foot.
Oh my god.
So dear, I was like, me. I was almost a victim of foot licking. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Okay, there's
so there's a line. There's a line.
Yeah.
We've established the line.
I wonder, yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah.
Into a sorority house, too.
He knew
there were a lot of
feet. I don't mean
a lot
to make,
of lady feet. A lot of little feet.
I don't mean to make Mr. Okie Dokie on our Twitter feel bad, because if somebody wants it, it's fine. But the story I'm telling is like about unsolicited.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Play.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's, I mean, is it, I'd say, well, I know the answer to this, but it's definitely worse to, there could have been worse things happening if someone, a homeless
that's
man
true.
Broke in.
It's just
that's not, listen, it's. It is.
You're
don't
saying,
unacceptable.
You're
don't
saying you're lucky he didn't rape you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's a form of foot rape, I suppose. But I'm saying if
he also broke and entered, which, you know, that's a no-no.
Right out of the gates, you're breaking the law, sir.
He entered the toe cracks with his tongue.
Oh, but I think that almost, like, it's emotionally damaging in such a specific way, because you always have that image of it has weird on top, because someone just trying to fuck you is not it's unacceptable.
It's
not weird.
No,
you're like, yeah, of course someone is trying to have, but someone like with their tongue between your toes, is a very strange thing to wake up to.
It is. It's also, yeah, what, I mean, he knows he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
You can't surreptitiously lick someone's foot. You're going to wake him up.
Yeah.
So the overwhelming need must have been just, really. Imagine what was driving him.
Yeah.
There.
Crazy, crazy foot fetish. Well, and I've heard about this too, what it is with foot fetish, because it is so common. They literally have the wires crossed for genitals and feet.
Really?
In the womb.
It's an actual brain chemistry.
I've never understood it. There are people who are grossed out by feet, who can't even don't want to think about their feet or anyone else's feet. I'm fine with feet.
Yeah, I'm in the middle. They're just feet. I walk around on them.
You're kind
fine.
Of grossed out though. Even if we're lying on the couch and I wiggle my feet under the blanket, you're like, stop, ooh.
No. It's not about the feet, though. It's just about the,
you freak out.
Fiddling and faddling when you're trying to get comfortable and watch a program.
Well, I get comfortable by wiggling my toes.
Okay. So anyway,
staying out of this one.
At Mr. Okie Dokie. It's definitely not wrong. Just make sure that you don't break into a sorority house and do it.
I imagine that's just a conversation you have to have, you know?
It is.
Like, you fall in love with someone, you have to be like, I'm really about the feet.
I'm really about the
feet.
You
have to be like, I was arrested for breaking into a sorority.
You got to tell me.
I used to be homeless.
Yeah.
I got myself back on my feet.
All right. Pulled myself
and
up
now
on
onto
my
yours.
Bootstraps. Did someone say boot?
The panting boot. That's a nice Western bar.
All right. Now, guys, get ready for my segue. Ooh. Pretend I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Boots, more like questions. How many toes do you have on your foot? Five. What about six? Six sections. Moving over to six sections.
These are six rapid-fire sex questions for Mr. David Sims.
Our producer hates me so much right now.
Please answer as quickly as you can.
Okay.
These are for you.
Number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
David, what's the sexiest animal?
Swordfish.
David, what's your number one celebrity crush?
Ooh, circa like 1991, Winona Ryder.
Oh,
me
fuck
too,
yes!
Me too.
Yeah, what's the best song to have sex to?
Poetic Justice by Kendrick Lamar.
Wow.
Just listen to that. Woo. Just listen to that.
Mr. Sims, hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Hot tub.
And what is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Face, eyes.
Face and eyes. Yes.
This has been six sections with David Sims.
Sensational. The swordfish is a beautiful phallic symbol.
It has. That's what I thought of.
Of course.
But still, it's a glistening, mighty, very, very.
Absolutely.
It's one of the
stirring example of nature.
It's one of the. It's one of the creatures that I hate to see mounted on a wall.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
I mean, it all stinks to take heads
like
and put them
seeing?
On your wall. Which ones am I?
What are you most impressed by?
I'd say I'm impressed by a swordfish because it gives up a hell of a fight, but I'm saddened because it's such a majestic creature.
Yeah.
A deer. Okay, cool. Everybody's got a fucking deer. Yeah. I'm not impressed by it.
And deer heads are a dime a dozen.
They're everywhere. You could buy it down at a flea market.
Lady deer, man deer, child deer.
How about the woman? Did you see the lion corpse? Who is this young lady? This busty. She's got.
Excuse me.
What's going on?
Fake breasts. Her name is. Her name's escaping me now. This was all over the internets yesterday. She's like a hunter. She had the show on National Geographic, but then they booted her off, I think, because she was. Too controversial. She kills just whatever. She went on this hunt in
man,
Africa.
Man, animal.
Man, the dangerous game. That's twice. But this lion corpse, it's a full-grown male lion with a huge mane just dead in front of her. And she went on this like safari in Africa, which they're technically not endangered. They're like a step before endangered. So you're allowed to kill them legally. And she just shot one with a damn rifle.
Hmm.
Or
seems
actually,
a little unsporting.
Like it's very unsporting.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't know.
It's set up. It's all so you're not.
Yeah, bow and arrow feels fair. Rifle
feels fairer.
Doesn't.
Yeah,
and the fake boobs give you an advantage because you can rest the barrel up on them.
That's true.
Yeah, I will also say about. I mean, the thing about that, which I know we've had this conversation before, but I think that man invented a rifle. You know, so it is. It is what it is. You're using your brain against what nature has offered.
Right. It's the whole thing that everything unnatural is natural
right.
because we created and we're natural.
But that's just sad. That's a sad reality.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Yeah.
Killing a lion. What for? What? Because who? What does that prove? Who are you now? You don't need to eat a lion.
That's the thing. We could.
No, I'm angry. I am angry. Taylor Moore, you're right. I should move on. Well, anywho.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I think my segue set that six sections off to be a little awkward.
No, it was great.
You were wonderful.
You were honest.
God knows
I just
what
lost
he's
it. I lost
about.
It on the microphone.
I'd like to be in a hot tub just more often.
Yes, sex in general.
You know, every time I'm in one, I'm like, this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
No, it's a little bit hard to bang in a hot tub sometimes.
I've never tried.
Yeah.
I'd give it a shot.
I feel like water is like seen as sexy, but it's hard to get like.
No, it's a pain in the ass.
A good position.
At least there's a seat in a hot tub, though. You know, at least you can kind of. It's not
like
a shower.
But the legs, like say you're going up, there's nowhere for your legs to go through because it's that hard plastic.
Right.
You're bruised, but you have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Winona Ryder is like my number one human being.
Guys.
Wino forever.
Yeah.
Wino forever.
Absolutely. That's it. That's it. That's it.
That's what says
Amen,
it all.
Amen, brother. Wino forever.
Well, those two were a magnificent couple at one time.
Oh, they were.
Ronnie and
no longer.
Winona.
But we do have an even better power couple in PC Spotlight.
Our power couple of the week. You know her, animal print clad, busty redhead, and homemaker.
And you know him, a malcontent beer guzzling shoe salesman and family man. We're talking Peg.
And Al Bundy.
Ah. You're a great couple.
I mean, we, yeah.
That was a great segue, by the way. That was a
that
fantastic
was
segue. Back.
Excellent.
You're back. Yeah, you got the magic back.
That felt good. It made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. All right, Al and
so
Peg.
These two.
These crazy cats.
Yeah.
I mean, first off,
another
just,
early show in my
yeah,
sort of
and
development.
Such a great the first couple seasons of that show. I mean, they right out of the gates, they're clearly lampooning just that kind of family. I mean, just the idea of like, oh, my wife and
right,
my husband's
right.
Bon, like they
Jane.
Took that to such an extreme.
She spends all my money and I just drink beer all day.
Right, yeah, Married with Children was a great program. I think in the early few seasons going back, it got outrageous in
you
the
know
later
what's
seasons.
Funny though,
but...
I don't know what you're. I'd love to hear your younger perspective on it because when I first started seeing it, I hated it because I just thought it was like kind of trashy. It was like uncomfortable.
Me
in
too,
a way...
but I was fascinated by that.
Right,
yeah,
but then
yeah.
I. got a little older and I realized that it was kind of like satire
right,
of the
right,
American
right.
family and I like saw its brilliance and then started to appreciate it more.
It's such an ugly show, like you know the sets and the light, it was you know had that sort of it's like kind
unappealing.
Of grimy quality to, and I remember when I was a kid I was like what is this you know ooh, this is like sort of dark side like gross house you know trashy kids depressed dad but still they're, but then you know, there's a beauty there's a lot of beauty underneath
and they didn't show. So the thing I liked is it had so much more impact when they showed the softer side because they never did. That
right,
there were those
right.
few moments
very,
where they showed Al and Peg, more so early.
Yeah.
But they would show sometimes.
Oh,
and you're like,
Al.
Oh. Yeah. And then, the
Katie Sagal, sexy.
Oh, my. That's the thing.
Still
you're like,
sexy.
You're like, Bundy, how
Christina
dare you now?
Applegate.
Ed O'Neill. What do you,
yeah,
well,
for sure.
Oh,
for sure.
That was a whew. My
boner.
Days,
that was like boners of a decade.
That was
for
yeah.
All
that
men.
Was 10
that's,
years
that's,
of a boner.
That's,
yeah.
Bud was disgusting.
Sure, he was. He was meant to be. I think. Yeah. Faustino. God bless you, Faustino.
God
poor
bless
guy.
You, Faustino.
You think he ever thinks about it? Everyone else, you got Modern Family.
Oh,
Katie
yeah.
Sagal. She's on Sons of Anarchy.
She
she's
did
a great,
Futurama
great
voice.
Katie
Sagal's
amazing.
Yeah.
Here's Christina Applegate. Who doesn't love Christina Applegate?
Yeah, she's been in so many
Nobody.
Movies and television. Faustino's kind of just hanging around.
Just
I
sort
guess.
Of. Just sort of. I
Look,
mean,
if
sure
you're out
doing
there,
fine.
Faustino.
He's lucky
Listener
he did
love.
Anything. Sorry.
And the OG Jefferson. I mean, the newer Jefferson was much more handsome, of course, but I liked the other Jefferson. Because Marcy Darcy, what a.
She was an amazing character.
Oh,
though.
Great character.
She was like the most obnoxious.
Yeah, the best.
Wait, so what makes Pal and Egg? No.
What do we call
Pal
Peg?
And Peg a power couple? I feel like they pretended to hate each other, but they needed each other.
There's a simpatico. They had an understanding, I felt, always. You know, mm-hmm. they did have each other's backs, even if they didn't seem... But you felt like, you know, if they were in a corner, they would fight their way out together.
That's right. And they did.
You know?
They did. Those are the times, the softer times, I think, where I'm trying to think of an episode.
They would stick up for each other. They wouldn't throw each other under the bus.
Exactly. It was whatever, however much hatred they had for each other existed in their own home, and they were a united front outside.
Right.
Well,
right.
That
which is key.
I think that is a big key to a power couple.
Yeah,
it's like a foundation.
I can make fun of this guy, but you know, hey.
But you
exactly.
can't.
Exactly.
It's my
man.
It's my
I can say that about my mom, but you can't. It's that exact thing. Like they were hardcore loyal to one another.
Mm. Yeah, and they did stick it because, I mean, divorce is always an option on the table. And when we see the statistics and it's half of marriages work and half don't work, you figure if they were staying together, there was a reason. There had to be some kind of reason.
Goes together like a horse and carriage. Mm. Love a marriage.
Old blue eyes. Mm-hmm.
Love that. All right. So
Well,
I salute them. I love Peg's outfits.
Her outfits are great. Her hair was great.
Her hair was top shelf.
Yep.
Al's unflinching honesty.
Her body.
Great quality.
Also, remember, Al sold women's shoes, right?
Yes,
he did. So he had an understanding of the foot.
It was like shoes for the modern woman or something. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, maybe that suggests that Al maybe had a sort of more intimate understanding of the woman that we saw on the show.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He said he hated him, but he didn't.
No.
Oh, Kelly Bundy. Anywho.
They made such beautiful children.
Yeah.
I don't know that Ed O'Neill and Katie Seagal would make Christine Applegate. I don't think that would happen.
No, she falls down from a heaven somewhere.
You said children, but I think you mean
child. I mean child. Faustino, fine.
Faustino.
They can shoot him out.
Faustino was the tired afterbirth.
I was like, no, yeah. He came out of her butt.
Yep. He was a dump that grew up to be a boy.
Man, Faustino's really...
He's taking it on the chin on this episode. All right, so let's... We want to get to know a little bit more about David Sims. We want to know how you interact in the real world.
Okay.
So what we've done here is... Well, we've done virtual sugar.
So what we do here is we take a real OkCupid profile.
Right.
We send you on an improvised date.
Okay.
So you're going on a date with Melrose Face.
Ooh.
I'm going to play the date.
Okay.
Murph's going to play all the fun, cool characters.
Yes.
And
the location of this date is going to be, we're going to be fishing in the Gowanus Canal.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Should I use my real OkCupid profile name?
You should.
I should. Right?
You should use any specifics from your real.
It is also a pun. And it's truly ridiculous.
Well, and also Diana believed when I first told her that you were going to be on the
show. Yeah. This is a fun story. I was like, oh my God, what does he look like? And Murph was like, what do you mean? He has brown hair. He's a dude.
He's like a tall white guy.
Yeah, tall white guy.
When I was doing OkCupid before I met Murph, I went out on a date with a guy who wrote for the AV Club.
I don't know.
Not to be rude, unmemorable. We just had one beer, you know, and it was fine. There's a lot of those. You're just like, hi, great to meet you. Hey. But it was so funny he said that, and this little spark went off, and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to do the podcast with this guy I went on a date with.
That would be crazy.
I wish I could tell you anything else.
I think I know who it is.
Really?
Was it in New York?
Yeah, it was in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It was on Smith Street.
He's in the other Game of Thrones camp.
Yeah.
It was Bar Great Harry.
Oh, yeah. I just walked by Bar Great Harry.
It wasn't you, though.
No, it wasn't me. No.
just so we all know.
Well, now
I haven't
it
been
is
on
you.
That many OkCupid dates. Right. I still remember who.
Now it is you.
So yes. Just be yourself.
Of course.
And the date begins now.
Hi, I'm Melrose Face.
Hi, I'm the crying of Latka 49.
Is that like a Jewish pension kind
that's right,
of?
That's
yeah,
right.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Loud and clear, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm actually Meliana.
Oh, I'm David. It's nice to meet you, Meliana.
So I thought it'd be fun to come out and go to the Gowanus.
I love it.
Yeah.
That sort of black mayo consistency to the water is great.
Well, we're not going to eat the fish.
No, we'll just catch them. Just throw them back.
I'm aboard me ship. It's the SS Sludge.
All right, I guess this is us.
Okay, all right.
Hi.
Happy to meet you, sir.
Hey.
Are you the captain?
I am the first mate. The captain never comes out from under the bellows of the ship.
This is just like a tiny boat. Mm.
This is a two-seater.
I'm amazed the two of you can fit on this thing.
Well, it's rocking a bit. We might not have three be able to fit.
Wait, we can't capsize. We'll die.
We will literally get gonorrhea and then die.
Do not touch a finger to
this
water.
The whale had gonorrhea in his eye when he swam into the Gowanus.
Oh, Ghani, we called him. He didn't live long.
Did you slay that whale, sir?
Well, he was my great white sludge gunnery infected whale.
Wow, I can't believe you met that whale. He was like all over the blogosphere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You met the internet, you know, hit of the week, that guy.
I don't know what blogosphere or internet means.
Sorry.
Ooh, okay.
But here's two poles. Good luck.
Oh, thank you. This is a sturdy pole.
All right. Well, this thing's kind of tippy.
Yeah. I'm worried about that guy. Keep an eye out behind you.
All right. Yeah. Well, you keep an eye out for me.
All right. All right.
Man up.
I got, I was just
Oh, there's something on my pole.
Oh, nothing.
It's just a jar.
What's in the jar?
Hold on. Looks like there's a note in here.
Okay. Gowanus love note.
You're going to die. Hmm. Oh, my God.
Arr, I knew he was going to reach out to me. That's my nemesis, Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum? Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum sails the Gowanus. Bitch. He's sailing this canal for 20 years.
There's room for two boats on this canal?
That's all there's room for. Actually, no, wait. There's not room. One of us has got to go.
No, it's here. There can be only one.
Here, you take this.
No, write this. Let me write a response. I want you to fish it back to Goldblum.
Okay. I feel like this guy's hijacking our date a little bit.
Yeah. Oh. He's pretty sexy.
He is. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Here.
He's got a magnetism.
What is the
Tell
note
him
say?
I've been tanning and doing push-ups.
Tanning.
He's been tanning.
And I'm coming for him.
All right.
Okay.
See you later.
I'm throwing it back in.
If we meet Jeff Goldblum, that would be a story.
I want to date Jeff Goldblum.
That would be a top 8 OkCupid date, I would say. Yeah. If we happen to come across Jeff Goldblum.
Wait, there's a boat on the horizon.
Oh, wait, who's this?
He's pulling up the jar. He's reading the note. It's Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I think, is he readying some kind of, there's some weapon on that boat or something.
Son of a bitch!
loved you in The Fly, sir.
Oh my God. Jeff, hi, I'm Meliana.
Hold on, I'm going to board your ship.
Great. Oh, God, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. I don't know if you. There's already four people on this thing.
Whoa.
Look, I advise you don't get your limbs wet in this water. I lost a toe.
Did you?
Really?
Gowanus, yes. And as I was training for The Fly, I wanted to see how much damage this water could do to my body.
Jeff,
Cronenberg insisted that I'm sorry, what was that, ma'am?
I know we just met, but can I come on your boat?
Jeff, you're salting my game here.
Oh, I'm sorry, is this a date?
Yeah.
Well, I've been known to ruin a few marriages.
I imagine this has happened before.
It has.
Yeah.
Jeff, okay. Is it true that life will find a way?
That's very true.
Life always finds a way.
You know what? Here's the keys to my boat, son.
Ooh. All right, all right. This is a much nicer boat, too.
I've got business to attend to below the deck on this boat.
Don't let me stop you.
Bye, Jeff.
See ya.
Later.
This is a Jurassic Park money boat. This is a good boat.
This is really nice.
Yeah, he's got plush seats and everything.
I know this is crazy, but I love you.
Oh, I love you, too. Boy, oh, boy.
Woo! That was a hot day.
Real was good. Day.
Ended in love, which is nice.
Yeah. I can't believe we met Jeff Goldblum.
I know. I can't believe Goldblum didn't. I thought I was about to lose you. But he was the gentleman. He was a gentleman. He's a good guy.
He would. Also, I just want to go on record as saying that Goldblum impression was from the heart.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm a little sad.
Oh.
Are you sad?
I'm really sad. I'm devastated, even though I met Jeff Goldblum, because we have to say goodbye to Mr. Davidson.
Oh, guys. David, you're sad, too.
I know.
You know.
Our time is limited here.
Yeah.
But we do love you. We want to thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Here's what needs to happen. You need to go to the AV Club.
Yeah.
You need to check out David's reviews of all television shows.
Yeah, I write a ton of TV reviews.
So many Ally McBeal.
Yep. So, yeah. One day I'll get the Ally McBeal on there. Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah.
He also has a great podcast about TV called Two Broke Girls and a Jew.
Yeah, check it out. It's way less professional than this one.
Oh, yeah.
I drink during it a lot of the time.
Amazing.
Though, so, yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's grueling.
You gotta loosen up.
Tweet at David L. Sims.
Here we go.
Yeah, this song is what's up.
Tweeted us.
Yeah.
At Minaj.
Drake's
Radio.
Got a verse on this song.
Thank Taylor Moore, our motherfucking producer. Yeah,
thank you.
And please visit us, MenageAtoisRadio.com.
Email us, MenageAtoisRadio@gmail.com.
Touch us right on the parts that we like. Drop that Goldblum.
Swordfish is sexy. If I told you that a flower
bloomed in a dark room with a phallic face, that mean I write poems in these songs dedicated to you when you're in the mood for empathy. It's blood in my pen. Better yet, with your friends and them, I really want to know you all. I really want to show you off. Fuck that, pour up plenty of champagne. Cold nights when you curse this name. You called up your girlfriends and y'all curled in that little bitty range I heard.